Justin Akery, joined by the Pigskin Preacher, Bill Vickery, Matty T, and soon to be joined by Robbie Neiswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau. Coming up, we're going to take a walk down memory lane.
Ew.
It was about this time last season that Bill Vickery came into his own as a professional broadcaster at the expense of John L. Smith.
Oh, no, not at their
Paul
expense.
And Paul Petrino.
Not at their expense at all.
It was at the expense of the Razorback fan
my
base.
Expense.
You, my friend, were brilliant last year. We're going to take a walk down memory lane and relive some of the great moments from John L. Smith's tenure as Razorback head coach. Because there's only one way to move forward. It's to finally exorcise the demon. And then we can flush.
You just got to go ahead and lance it.
That was Chris Ash talking about the Razorback defense. I also want to point out, too, we played a clip yesterday from Joel Thomas, the running backs coach at Arkansas. And we finally heard that name that was the headliner during the spring game, Patrick Arens. And I actually saw another thing about it in the paper today. They were talking about him. But it's a young man who sort of made a name for himself as a battering ram who's also getting carries and apparently been pretty effective at that. So I think he's a guy that we may hear more on. And, of course, Kiro Small trying to get healthy. So he's a guy we may see him play. Who knows? Maybe we'll put the Arens Small combo meal in the backfield together. You want a piece of that?
Doesn't that sound like some sort of Quentin Tarantino combination? Arens and Small?
Small Arens.
Small Arens. There you go. That's Samuel L. Jackson and Travolta.
That's true. Hopefully
right
nobody
there.
Accidentally gets shot in the back of a car.
Look at the big brain on Brad.
Let's go to the what are you doing back here? You're on brain detail. Robbie Neiswanger joining us. Good morning, buddy.
Sounds like a value meal at a restaurant or something, a small Arens. I'll take the small Arens, please.
Yeah, it's a Royale with cheese, actually.
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't go to Burger King.
Exactly. You know, let me tell you something. Those are a couple guys that have eaten some mayonnaise on their fries. I promise you. Those dudes are full-figured fellas. Yeah.
Drown them in that stuff.
Not after getting on this Ben Herbert health plan. They've stopped eating stuff like that. That's why they're looking pretty good this preseason.
I am so amazed by the work he has done. I'm actually convinced that he could get me in shape. That's how much respect I have for Ben Herbert.
Yeah, I was joking around a couple weeks ago that, you know, I'm not impressed by what he's doing with these athletes. I want to see what he can do with me.
Yeah,
so.
if he can make you a beefcake, Robbie. Robbie's what would you call a slightly built fella. How about that? But if we could make you a beefcake, that would really be impressive.
It would be very impressive, no doubt about it.
Okay,
no
so we've had limited interaction with practice, and I guess that's an understatement. But we did get to see Arkansas in a scrimmage last weekend, and I was just mentioning we finally got to hear something about Patrick Arens. So from a running back perspective, we know about Jonathan Williams. I think, you know, we're pretty familiar with what Alex Collins brings to the table. How much does Arens figure into their plans from your understanding, and what did you see from him in the spring game? The scrimmage, rather.
Yeah, I think he figures into the plan somewhat. You know, I don't think it's going to be an every down, you know, back by any means, but he's a guy that can probably play a little bit of both positions. You know, he can probably play a little bit of tailback if needed to, but I think he's really going to be looked at more as a fullback. You know, kind of giving Kiro Small a breather, you know, that kind of thing, or filling in, you know, if Kiro Small has an injury. So I think you're going to see this guy, and really, it's kind of the whole backfield is kind of intriguing to me because it's basically a bunch of new faces, and you know, so I'm not quite sure how the carries are going to be divided, you know, between Jonathan Williams and Alex Collins. How does Cody Walker fit into it? Because he's another guy that can play both positions, and you know, you mentioned the Arens and Kiro Small. Obviously, you know, he can touch the ball some and do some pretty good things as well, according to coaches. So it's really kind of intriguing. And we're not really going to have it all figured out, I don't think, until we get them, you know, until Arkansas gets on the field for a couple of weeks. And then we might see, you know, who exactly is factoring into this thing. But it's definitely a situation where there's a lot of new faces, a lot of guys that would like to get the football, and we're going to see what they do with them.
Any backup quarterbacks stand out to you at the scrimmage?
I don't know if anybody stood out to me. Really, the only two that got any significant snaps were A.J. Derby and Brian Beener. A.J. Derby, you know, clearly he was getting all the work with the number twos. He's the guy that they've targeted at least through the first week of practice as their number two quarterback because he was getting those reps in the scrimmage. The coaches told us that, you know, behind closed doors that the freshmen were getting much more work in practice last week. And I'm sure that the same thing's going on this week. They just didn't get a chance to scrimmage very much. So at this point, it looks like just from the one time we got in there, and again, this could change, you know, day by day or week by week, that Derby's going to be the number two entering the season. I think that the key is how quickly can those freshmen develop and can they make an impact and climb up the chart.
Robbie, we have seen varying philosophies on special teams as far as returns go. I'll never forget Houston Nutt the year that he put Peyton Hillis back there because he was the most sure-handed return man. We were certainly not looking for return yards, just not to turn the ball over.
Right.
And then, of course, a couple of seasons ago, we had Joe Adams freaking people and one of the great punt returns in the history of Arkansas football against Tennessee. Where does Brett Bielema and his staff's philosophy fall, and who seems to be the guy for the return, whether it's punt or kick?
Yeah, as far as who the guy is, I don't know. I don't know who that guy is right now. And, again, I think a lot of it goes back to we're not in there every day to see who they're working every day. You can talk to the coaches. And I know Nate Holmes is a guy who handled some of those duties last year. And, you know, they've talked about him a little bit, but the key is, you know, as you just said, he's got to catch the football. We know he had a couple of muffs last year, and that's something you never want your return man to do. But, you know, I think he's a guy that you've got to look at and see. Other than that, I think they're trying just a bunch of different guys to see who it's going to be. And clearly, you know, Arkansas's got to have more explosion back there. I looked it up earlier this week, and in the punt and kick return game, I mean, the longest return they had last year is 42 yards. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And think about, you know, 2 years ago they had 6 touchdowns of 50 yards or more in the return game. So
yeah.
it was a dramatic difference. And, you know, Arkansas understands that, you know, they've got to get more production there in the return game. But, you know, at this point, as far as who those guys are, I think it's really anybody's guess, you know, because I don't think it's anything they've decided at this point. But as they get closer, they got to figure out who it's going to be.
You know, so much emphasis, Robbie, is placed on the people catching the ball. No doubt about it. I mean, if you had a Dennis Johnson back there on a kickoff return, yeah, that was the great guy you wanted to have. But the essence of great special teams comes from the guys who get in a position to set up the blocks in the proper way.
Right.
And you know, last year was a disaster, of course, because we couldn't coach up offense or defense. So, you know, how can you coach up special teams if you can't do the first two right? There does seem to be, though, an emphasis on special teams with Bielema having multiple guys working to coach the special teams.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that, you know, in the practice we've seen and the little bit of special teams they've done, you've seen a lot of different guys getting involved in it as well as far as the players go. So I think that's the message they're trying to spread right now, is that special teams is very important. You know, we're going to get some of our best guys on there. Whoever can do the job, that's going to be who's going to do the job. And a lot of it might be younger players because they do have a lot of experience, but they got a lot of, you know, redshirt freshmen that are getting their first opportunity this year, maybe even true freshmen. I mean, you talk about Bielema, you know, expects 10 true freshmen to play. Where do you think a lot of those guys are going to play?
Yeah,
I see a lot of that there on special teams. So, again, it's a matter of getting those guys coached up and getting them prepared to do whatever their jobs may be, whoever they're being asked, you know, whoever's being asked to do it, you know, you've got to get them ready to go. And you're right. I mean, you've got special return men at times like Joe Adams and Dennis Johnson, but if they didn't get some blocking along the way, or, you know, just holding guys off just a little bit, they're not going to have those opportunities. So it's really, you've got to get everybody involved there, and you've got to do a good job to break big plays.
How bad was it last year? Well, this coaching staff was able to turn a guy like Zach Hawker, who was all SEC worthy his freshman year, into the Grammatica brother who didn't know how to kick last year.
How did that happen?
So what happens with Hawker this year? What's the buzz on him in the early camp?
You know, it's funny. I actually sat down and talked to him for a while at Media Day on Sunday, and, you know, he kind of chalked it up to not really being as focused last year.
Did he at any point say, I figured, what difference does it make
right.
if I make it or not?
Right.
Well, you know what? That's he didn't say that. That's kind of what he was getting to, you know, and he put it on himself. You know, he said, I'm not blaming the coaches. It was on myself. But, you know, basically you miss a field goal and you're upset about it, you're down about it. But you get over it quickly and you move on with your life. I mean,
you look up and realize you're down 30 and you were only going to be down 27 if you made it. It's hard to stay focused.
There weren't any pressure-packed kicks he could turn back to and go, ah, if only.
Yeah, to use a golf analogy, it's like if you're putting to break 80, I mean, you might be a little more locked in than if you're putting to break 120.
Right.
Exactly, and I think that seems to be the mentality that everybody had last year. You know, things just went so bad so quickly. And at some point, you know, you're going out there and you're trying to do your job, but if it didn't work, let's move on to the next day or the next season even. I mean, that just seems to be the approach. And I think that got into Hawker a little bit, but, you know, he seems really determined, really fired up to make sure that his last year here is a pretty special one. And, you know, everybody who was at the scrimmage, you know, early on, before they even started scrimmaging, they were just doing some punt stuff, and he got a hold of one, and it went forever. I mean, I think that thing is still sailing through the air, so... You saw some promise there with him as a potential punter. And then in the scrimmage, he goes 2 for 2 on field goals, and including, you know, it included a 57-yarder. So he feels really good about the operation right now with his snapper, with his holder. Yeah. He feels very optimistic about this year, and I think that's a good thing for Arkansas.
That's a great barometer. If your kicker is really not focused in the game, how do you expect that should have been the – if you've got a kicker dialed in, then you got your team dialed in, you're playing deep into the fourth quarter, you got a chance to win it. But if he's over Instagramming on the sideline, look at this. I'm about to kick this ball.
Hey, yeah. Hey, let's not accuse him of that now.
No. I'm just. But I mean, you're right. How difficult is it if you're a kicker to stay mentally into the game when you're down 28?
I'd like to point out as a fan, I found it impossible.
Well, so. Right, exactly. I mean, you can't. Right. So anyway, he's a talented guy. That's the point. He can play. He is talented.
The only thing I was in it for the fourth quarter was for to see if the opposing. Quarterback from the backup quarterback from the opposition could throw a touchdown or two.
Yeah. I'll tell you who was into the game, the third string from the other team.
Yeah.
They know they're playing.
Right. Yeah, that's
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, and to your point, there was a lot of talented players on that team last year. We're talking about Wilson and Kobe Hamilton and Nile Davis. And so there was plenty of talent last year. It went south really quickly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It went bad. It just got worse and worse and worse. So it was just a weird year, and we all know that. We all know that. It was just one of those things that you just couldn't figure out what was going on wrong with this team. It's easy to blame the head coach, and while I think there was a lot of that going on, it just seemed doomed from the start, beginning with Petrino's motorcycle ride, and that's the way it ended up.
Robbie Neiswanger, Arkansas News Bureau, joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Let me ask you about the linebacking core, because, I find that to be – the most intriguing unit on the defense for sure, and maybe on the whole team as far as a key to success. I think the defensive backs are going to get covered up a little bit because of the talent up front. I think they'll be able to have some of any deficiencies they've got back there a little bit covered up. But the linebacking core I find to be particularly interesting. What are you seeing or what are you thinking about what's going on there?
Yeah, or what are we hearing, right?
Right, that's exactly. Probably. I guess you did see the scrimmage at least.
What we know right now is that Austin Jones is a kid that has stepped into the middle linebacker spot, and he's working with the first team there. The coaches really like it, he was over on the strong side in the spring for the most part. And, Chris Ash told us earlier this week, he's a guy that just seemed to make plays and make plays and make plays. And it's almost like the light went on. They're like, we got to get this guy on the field. And after that is, well, why don't we put him at middle linebacker? So that's where he is right now. They feel good about what he's doing. They've got Jarrett Lake over on the strong side. And, again, the coaches have said he's been one of the biggest, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but they've been really, really happy with what he's doing over on that side. So it feels like he's got that spot locked up. And then on the weak side, you've got Braylon Mitchell, a guy who's been here for a couple of years and hadn't really gotten to see much of the field except for special teams. Well, now he's finally getting this opportunity over at the weak side. So that's your starting unit. And, of course, they're trying to plug in with some depth as well. They just moved Otha Peters back over to middle linebacker, so he's working with the twos there. They've got Brooks Ellis, the freshman. He's over on the on the weak side now. They moved him back to the weak side. And then they've got Martrell Spate, the junior college transfer. He's over on the strong side with the twos. So those are your top six at the moment. But with Randy Shannon, it seems to be changing and evolving and rotating every day.
Well, I was going to ask you about Spate, too, because he's a guy that a lot of people expected to come in. And I guess he is still competing for a starting job, but a guy that a lot of people expected to be slated as a starter by the time the first game rolled around. From a competition standpoint, I guess it continues.
Yeah, well, it's taken a little bit of time for him to adjust, and the coaches said that he was having a hard time just kind of putting his shoes on, right at the first couple of days there.
That can be
tricky. Which is understandable.
Yeah,
it's happened to me a time or two.
Well,
but we saw him out at the scrimmage, and he made a couple plays out of the scrimmage. He said, this guy's got potential. This guy's got talent. So, I don't know if he's going to crack the starting unit for the season opener. I don't know if he'll crack it this year, but he's going to play. There's no doubt. And they like the promise that he's got. He's shown some things already.
Robbie, appreciate you, my friend. And we will visit with you again next week for sure.
Sounds good.
And I appreciate
all
you.
Right. I'll tell you more about what I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. We are all we're all in the same boat with that. But is there another public? I know they've got a fan day on this Sunday, right? Is that this Sunday or next Sunday?
Yeah, they've got fan day on Sunday. They're supposed to scrimmage again on Saturday. But again, we've heard no word on whether we're going to be invited back or the public's going to be invited back. So we're just kind of taking it day by day at this point.
I can't wait to find out. It's so exciting. See that adds such another layer of drama to it. Yes, exactly. Robbie, thanks, man. We'll be following you as well. Thanks for the work.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Robbie's good.
Hey, do you think that does the press? I want to know the preacher's comment. Does the press make too big a deal when they're not allowed into a practice? Practice.
I tried to sneak into a Michigan practice in the mid '80s when Bo Schembechler was there, and there was a sign on the outside of the door: "Absolutely no outside visitors admitted to practice." And it was signed Bo.
Bo. Yeah.
Which was interesting because it's like you're going to run off tackle anyway, so it's not like we're going to learn any new state secrets.
But is there? You know, Saban talks about that a lot of time. Like, I want to do stuff in practice. I don't want everyone to know about it.
I don't have a problem with it personally. And again, Wally wrote about it yesterday, and he sort of followed up on it today. He did make a great point, though. I mean, you know, people who, if they want to know whether or not they can go, they're going to probably learn from it from the traditional media, whether it's newspaper, radio, or television. So we do have a place here, okay? I don't have a problem with them closing practice. I do have a problem with them showing exclusive content that only they have. That, to me, puts them in a competitive standpoint with the media. That's an issue, okay? And here's the other thing. If you want to take the university's word for it as to who's doing well and what's happening, have at it. If you want to get a true picture of what's going on, though, you need people like us to be in there. Now, my thing is, if you don't care and all you care about is the game, and most people, that's probably the case, they want to see what's going on in the games. They don't really care that much about what's going on in practice.
Practice.
But that's my biggest thing is I have to, like Robbie said, I think everybody understands, Robbie's not a sensational guy. He's not a guy that's going to try to hurt a program. He's not going to try to be, you know, over the top about anything. But he's a guy that has zero access and can't truly do his job with the limited ability he's had to do so. I don't have a huge issue with it this first year. I hope it doesn't continue going forward. At least give us part of practice or one practice a week or something where you can see guys performing.
Does it lose when you talk about them with the exclusive content that comes through IMG and the deal they cut with the university, and it's basically you pay for information. I mean, it's become a National Enquirer situation when you cut a check to the university and then they give you exclusivity to specific interviews. Does it at some point credibility really comes into question, and so that if you sell it to the fans as one thing and it turns out to be another, then there will be no desire to be informed because you know what you're getting.
The bottom line is this: if the SID tells me something, I take it with a grain of salt. If Robbie tells me something, then I think it's probably the case. Yeah. And again, they have a motivation. They have a motivation A to give the kind of message they want to give. They're controlling the message. I mean, and look, that's fine. That's their prerogative. It's their product to do with as they please.
I've been into a couple practices, football and basketball, at Michigan back in the day. It's much ado about nothing.
True. Yeah,
you're not missing much. I mean,
well, to your point, and I got to tell you, coaches in the South, but primarily just here in Arkansas, they can be very thin-skinned when it comes to the media. You want to see the media really hammer somebody? Go be in Austin, Texas when Mac Brown loses two or three games. Go, I mean, if you think that Wally Hall is hammering a coach, he has handled a lot of these coaches with kid gloves. Go see some of the – get above the Mason-Dixon line and be in Detroit. And
Mike Rosenberg with the Free Press. Yeah. I mean, he was after Rodriguez before Rodriguez unpacked the U-Haul. I mean, they were going to bring that guy down.
Well, he got his way.
And it is brutal. It is a brutal pounding that a lot of these guys run through.
Not as brutal as the season that we endured last year, Bill Vickery.